This is for the players.
I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Josh Saunders.
And this is For The Players, the pop culturist PlayStation podcast. Over 40 years of playing PlayStation and 8-plus years in that games media combined, we thought we'd throw a hat into the ring and join that PlayStation conversation.
This PlayStation conversation happens every Monday morning at 9 a.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time on YouTube and 8 a.m. on iTunes and the other podcast services. If you want to be a part of future conversations, join us on Facebook, Discord, comment below. If you're feeling generous, join us on Patreon at patreon.com/popculturists. Head over there, check out the tiers. Might be something there that interests you.
Now, if you do want to watch us record this live on a Saturday morning, you can be a patron. I bug myself up there. If you're a patron, you can watch this live as we record it every Saturday morning, and a bunch of other nice little perks in there. Actually, that's really all about it. But we are on Twitch at twitch.tv/thepopculturist, where you can subscribe and like and biddies and all those streamery things. And, of course, merch. This one, that one.
There's one on this.
Popcultures.com/shop. Things. Oh man, I really like that. Like, I really broke my momentum so early, and it just crumbled the rest. How you been?
You've only done it 72 times.
Yeah, minimum.
At least. Yeah, right. Yeah. Finished 3 games this week.
Holy, come on.
That's good.
So good. 3 credits. What's the total this year?
I'm rocking up on. I'm sticking to my pledge that I made last week.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how many is it this year?
Yeah.
9.
Yeah. Very good,
went
dude.
From 6 to 9.
I did like that. Yeah, last week you were like, well, I'm not going to play any more games until I finish these 4 games. Hey, I finished 3 of the 4 games.
Yeah. I'm not doing Octopath because it's just a bit too much.
Yeah, you've given up on that one?
It's just too long. Not doing Hollow Knight because it's just too hard.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
But what did you kick off then?
I finished Doom.
Hmm?
It's all right.
Yeah.
It's all right. Got a bit repetitive towards the end. It's just, you know, you're walking, do a thing, walk into a big open room, and you're like, here it comes. Bleh! Kill all them, go to the next room, corridor. Oh, it's a big room. Here it comes.
Bleh!
Bleh! You know, the story's cool, though. I did call the ending pretty far away, though. I'm like, this dude's going to fuck me over.
So anyway. Last time that we spoke about Doom, you said, I'm taking on this woman. How much longer did you have after that?
Oh, that was only chapter 4.
Oh, so you're like really early on.
Because you go to hell like fucking 17 times.
Oh.
You go to hell to do a thing and then you get pulled back. He's like, oh, nope, you got to go back and you forgot the thing. Okay, I'll go back and do that. Then you come back. He's like, wait, once more, go to hell. It's like, okay. Yeah. And then, you know, you find
that's that's the robo leader man, yeah?
Yeah, Samuel Hayden.
Yeah.
I'm like, he's going to fuck us around at the end. He did. Sort of coming. I will never, ever play another FPS on the Switch.
Yep. Decision made?
Done. Decision made. Because the Joy-Con is just a fucking shit.
And why didn't you dock it?
Huh?
Why didn't you dock it?
It's still the Joy-Cons. It doesn't change anything.
Oh, you don't have a Pro Controller, do you?
No. I'm not buying.
Yeah, fuck that noise.
What the fuck do I want a Pro Controller for? I don't play my Switch docked. Like my dock is in my bed next to my bed now.
Yeah, it just charges.
Because it's just never on the TV anymore. So yeah, Doom was cool. It was fun.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoyed my time with it. All my frustrations came from playing with Joy-Cons. I feel like it would have been a better experience with the DualShock. So that's noted for Eternal.
Mm.
I finished SteamWorld Dig 2 on the Switch.
Now, is SteamWorld Dig that... Okay, no, I'm thinking of Spelunky.
Yeah.
Yeah, so this one's not procedurally...
It's not Spelunky.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
No. It is... You mine. You find crystals. There's a story. You go to new areas. You get, like, grappling hooks and mm-hmm. bombs and... Yeah, it's fun.
You said this would be a very good Betson game.
Yeah, I think it would. Yeah, it took me 4 hours to finish it.
Oh, that is.
But I could have gotten a lot more time out of it, but I was like, no, I'm going to finish the game. So I'm just going to finish the game. Yeah, about 4 hours. It's $30 though, which was, I was like, oh, I don't know. But I spent $30, so I had to finish it.
Yeah.
I had to finish it. It was good. It's good. And then I finished Metro 2033. That was fantastic.
Yeah.
That is a franchise worth jumping on.
Well, I did buy it under your recommendation. And I haven't jumped into it yet.
You need to be in a very particular setting to play it, though. You can't have a podcast going. You can't have James zipping around the lounge room. It's not that kind of game.
Is it one that I'd probably want to sit in here, have a
yeah,
TV
it's not,
in
not
here?
Like you don't have to play it in the dark or, you know, to get spooks and stuff, but it really does lend itself to giving it your attention
yeah.
without being distracted by anything else. You know, was James eating Play-Doh over there? Oh, no, no, yeah, I'll do that in a sec. You know, it's not...
So, James eating Play-Doh without me? Get out of the
way. yeah, no, I started last light.
Mm, that's the second one, yeah?
The second one. I'm going to step back from that for a while.
Too much spooks?
No.
Or is it too much the same?
Yeah, I mean, I just finished it and then I booted up the sequel. I'm like, oh, I'm going to take it. I'll play some other things. So I did buy Final Fantasy 15 Pocket Edition on the Switch.
Oh, yeah.
As a reward for finishing those three games.
Very cool.
Yeah. That's cool. I like it.
Yeah.
It's weird because they kept the original music, they've taken all the voice actor work from the actual game. But then having it overlaid with this chibi art style.
Yeah, the small little big head
dudes.
Yeah,
yeah. It's a little weird because it is a pretty serious story. And it does hit the story beats a lot quicker because there's no... It's not open world.
Mm.
Whereas, you know, there are little side paths and all that you can take. But it is very, I guess, mobile friendly because it is a mobile game.
Mm.
But it gets you through the story. Like, fuck all the rest of it. A couple side missions and all that. But it is just, if you want to know what happened in this game, this is how you do it. And it was 40% off.
Very good.
But it is weird because they're having very serious dialogue, but they've got this big, like, bowl head flopping around. But I am enjoying it. It's good.
Awesome.
I don't know how long it'll take, because that's
well.
Long
if it cuts
game.
Out a lot of the open world, like I'm not quite sure what that would mean.
I reckon it'd be at least probably 30 hours.
Does it have all the extra DLC and stuff?
I don't know.
Paul in the chat, one of our Patreon supporters, has mentioned that the camera is frozen.
This is what you get to pay for.
That's right. You get to pay for frozen cameras, but that audio is still fucking sweet though.
I had a good gaming week.
And Paul does always jumps and said, SteamWorld Dig, the sequel, and Heist are the best. Try them, Ryan.
There you go.
Maybe I have to know.
They are Ryan games.
Oh, my knee.
What about you?
I've had a pretty low-key week, actually. Like, work's been pretty mind-demanding. Mm. So I've kind of come home and it's like, ugh. So I streamed the first 2 and a bit hours of Shadow of the Tomb Raider on Wednesday. Still don't give two fucks about story. Gameplay's tight. Lara's a dick. Like the whole premise of this game seems to rely on the idea that she went into a cave and went, oh, I probably shouldn't take that. Yeah, and then like, you brought the apocalypse, and the apocalypse literally happens.
Huh.
So she's like, well, and she's like, what have I done? Like, yeah, what have you done?
Fair.
Yeah. And like, she's still the same sort of like...
But wasn't in like the first one, at least the first one, she was kind of a sympathetic character.
Yeah, there's a lot of weakness
she's
to her
like
in the first.
out of her element, out of her depth, you know, just trying to survive.
Yeah, she's trying to survive, and you know, when she kills someone, she's like, oh my god. Yeah. And in this, I kill two jaguars, and she's like, that's cool. Yeah. So like...
She's got like Nathan Drake syndrome, just fucking blowing away 100 people.
A little bit.
Yeah.
Like... And she's chasing the Trinity people, which I think they were a big component in Rise of the Tomb Raider. Didn't care for them. Don't care for them now. Jonah, who's her little side buddy, her friend zone dude, he's there and he's almost in every game. And he's like, oh, what do you need, Lara? I'll do whatever you need. Please love me, Lara. Mm. She treats him like shit.
Yeah.
But he's the voice of reason in this.
I heard on another podcast that, like... Use it together, and then you split up, and you go through all this shit to get out the other end, and he's just at the other end.
Yeah, yeah,
how did you get here?
At the opening, when you bring on the apocalypse, this giant flood happens, and you're being thrown around this river through a town. Like, no, you're nearly drowning, and get stabbed, and you get to the end. And he's like, hey. Like, how'd you get here, Jonah?
I think that's a running thing through the game.
Yeah,
I've heard.
But like, yeah, Jonah into the voice of reason. She's like, we've got to do this. And he's like, the world doesn't revolve around you, Lara. I'm like, fuck yeah, Jonah. You know what's up. I got really connected to connected to Jonah in that one moment. I'm like, nah, you're cool. Like in the other ones, I didn't give two shits about him at all.
But now that he's calling her out on his
but
shit.
But now that he's calling her out on her shit, I'm like, this is my man. My man, Jonah. I will spend some more time with it. I do want to finish it. It should be a somewhat easy credits as well because it's pretty straightforward and it's obviously that linear. It's got the same sort of open worlds that Rise had, but they're a lot more dense now. So like when you're in a jungle, there's no like open, like it's fucking jungle.
Yeah. That's cool.
Which is really cool. Like, you can see they've jacked up. Now, it does look substantially better than Rise. Because Rise, what, 3 years ago now on the Xbox One, and then they up-resed it to the PS4. So with the Xbox One being comparative to PS4, it is the less powerful console. Like, you can only max out like 900p at the time. So now they've got the full capabilities of the One X and the Pro. Like, they can just jack that shit. And it looks schmick. Like, lip sync for me is always the, as we talked about before, the thing that throws me out. Spot on in this game. Like, it's really, really good.
Cool.
Yeah, and other than that, I've just been using Everybody's Golf as my chill at the end of the night. I'm just kind of like, ugh. You know, it's where I can kind of listen to a podcast, literally glaze my eyes over it. And that's what, and then I play for that for like half an hour and then I go to bed.
Oh, that's Rocket League for me.
Yeah. It's good. I do enjoy Everybody's Golf like a lot. And at work, I've played a ton of games. But
did you get the VR one?
No. Did you read it on the drop last week? I haven't grabbed it yet. Mm. I didn't see it on the store. I've had a ton of lip sync issues, says Paul.
Oh.
Well, so far, in the very minute time I've spent with it, it's been pretty good. But I was doing it on a stream and I was shit talking the whole time, so I may have missed all of it. But, anyways. That's what we've been playing, so now we're heading to the news, where we tell you about what PlayStation stuff happened this week in a section we call Inform the Players.
Sorry.
It's quality news this week.
Just had a bit of a yawn there. This first one's pretty yawn-worthy, I think.
Mm.
To me, anyway. Sony has announced the PlayStation Classic, which comes with 20 preloaded games and will be released December 3rd at a retail price of $100 US or $150 Australian. Sony's very own mini retro console will come with Final Fantasy VII, Tekken 3, Wild Arms, Jumping Flash, Ridge Racer 4, and other legendary, quote, titles, which will be announced before the year's end, all in their original format. The PlayStation Classic is approximately 45% smaller than the original PlayStation, and Sony has emulated the original packaging as much as possible. Each unit will come with a HDMI and USB cable, two original pre-DualShock controllers, though you will have to buy a compatible USB AC adapter because it's not included, even at $150.
Mm.
I said this in our Discord chat. The fact that there's no analog sticks means there's no Ape Escape, which means this can fuck right off. I mean, this is going to sell hotcakes. Because I think that these mini consoles are becoming like a collectible thing at this point.
Yeah.
But...
And like, that's the key reason I want one. I haven't pre-ordered one yet because I had that hype moment and I was like... and then I gave myself a day and then I went... I still want it, but no.
I feel like the fact that they didn't release the full list of games yet indicates that what the five they have shown is probably the maybe the best they've got to offer. And everything else might be a bit meh.
I'm going the other way. I think that there's enough here to really bring you in. Like, Final Fantasy VII and Tekken 3 are good opening. And Ridge Racer Type 4 is pretty dope too.
I don't know the other two games, to be honest.
Yeah, I couldn't tell you about Wild Arms, Jumping Flash. Couldn't tell. So, like, Tekken 3 is a big pull for me personally and for most people. So, like, ooh. Okay, but then, because they're not dropping it in the one big go, they can tease it out for the rest of the year. Because last I checked, EB Games still has pre-orders open.
Mm.
Which means...
I don't think they'll run into the issues Nintendo have with their availability.
Well, I mean that in the... I was concerned they would have the same availability issues, but maybe people are hesitant, maybe people are sitting back and waiting.
Mm.
Which is great, because like, there are a bunch of other games I think will drop on there now. You know, Paul in the chat, he was on episode like 7 of FTP, where we made our own PlayStation Mini and what we think would be in it. Now we threw some silly ones in there, like Shame on Cricket 99. And
having said that, FF7, which is going to be on it, and FF9, which Paul wants, are both coming to the Switch very, very soon. So,
that's a good point. See, like, for me,
because the only games I care about from PS1 era are pretty much the Final Fantasy games.
Yeah.
Everything else since then has had a remaster or a remake or is available on my Vita or whatever, except The Legend of Dragoon, which it's a mission. If that's on it, I'm buying this thing day one. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it.
I think we will get, ideally, Metal Gear Solid on there. That would, because that's such a PS1 staple.
Do you think Konami will be up to it at this point?
Well, Konami are making games again, so it's open. I would like to see Silent Hill on there. It's another Konami deal.
Mm.
Two very important PS1 titles there.
Mm.
Maybe Soul Reaver, Legacy of Kain. You know, like, you know, a bunch of those, like, maybe Medieval, maybe Siphon Filter would be a must, the first party, so with Sony Ben.
I think you're going
so.
Too hard. They're not going to put all of them on one.
Sony, well, Siphon Filter they can, first party, that's easy. Mm. Metal Gear would be huge, Silent Hill would be huge. Legacy of Kain's very niche, so it's kind of unlikely.
All this really does for me is highlight the lack of ports on current gen for this stuff.
All it shows me is that this will never see backwards compatibility in its regular sense.
What do you mean? In the PS4?
Yeah, the PS4.
Yeah, we're already started. I think we talked about it.
Yeah, no, but it's like even moving forward, we're not going to see it. Like, even with the Xbox One have done that. You know, they don't have to read an Xbox Classic because they've got it all supported on their fucking console. So they don't need to do this shit. You know what I mean? Yeah. And, like, we've seen that...
They will.
Oh, yeah. Like, we've seen that. We've seen this exact thing with Nintendo. Like, now that they've got these classics, they don't need to have a virtual console. Mm-hmm. And the virtual console they have, quote-unquote, mm-hmm. is behind the Nintendo
fucking
Switch
garbage.
Online. And it's
yeah.
poo.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, like, they don't have to... Because nostalgia makes money. Nostalgia prints money.
I'd argue that if they released the whole back catalogue at the games $3 each, they would make more money over the years that they did off the SNES Classics.
They would make substantial... Even PlayStation would
when
make
people
substantially
can pick and choose... Yeah. I'm not a marketing guy. Yeah. But it just seems to me that if they're, like... Here's every game from, like, GameCube backwards... $3 to $5 each. I reckon they'd make money hand over fist compared to what they would make from their mini consoles.
Yeah, even if PS1 Classics made its way to the PlayStation 4, so you'd say, oh, we're going to charge Australian $15 for PS2 games.
Well, they do on the Vita. Like Crash is like
$7.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, like, if they did that on the PS4, like, because that's 80 million people, like. You know, I don't know whether you put the news article in there, but they're ceasing production of the Vita.
Yeah, I did.
Oh, okay, we'll get to that in a minute.
But why can the Vita have it and the PS4 can't?
My exact point.
Fucking tell me.
My exact point.
Fucking tell me.
I want to play these games, but I'm not going to pull that. Like, there's not enough triggers on the Vita for me to play Metal Gear Solid well.
Yeah.
And like I'm not going to go hunt down the PS3 that can do PS2 games. Fuck that noise. Mm. Oh, and mind you, this the mini the classic only does 720p anyway. So,
Dad's PS3 can do PS2 games. He's got one.
I love his
PS3. That's at my house, actually. Paul says bring them with trophy support, and they guarantee a bunch of. Yeah. Although I don't know if I'd really want trophy support in my old games. Maybe.
There was some interesting wording in this. It's like, you know, there's going to be 20. I think they said 20 games at launch.
Mm.
What if there's an inbuilt little store? Like, then you can like inbuilt storage.
That's just even more of a spit in the face. Fuck that. That's fucking dumb if they do that.
Well, okay, there's 20 on here, but there's room for 40.
Yeah, there's room for 40 for $5 each. Just put them on the fucking PSN. Bunch of.
But yeah, it's an app. Like, understandably, it only outputs at like 480 or 720, which makes sense because they're on PS1, which was 480 anyway. But
let's
like,
hope the cords are longer than 60 centimetres.
Imagine trying to put that 720 shit on my 4K TV. Mm. In the correct resolution, that's literally this big on my fucking TV.
Yeah.
Stretched out.
So you have to buy an old CRT.
It's going to be all bad.
Number two, with 3.3 million copies sold within the first 3 days of its release, Insomniac's Spider-Man for PS4 is the fastest-selling first-party PlayStation game of all time. USA Today reported the sales milestone for Spider-Man, indicating that, assuming all copies were sold at the standard retail price of $60, US, Today worked out that those 3.3 million copies sold out to be about $198 million.
Jesus.
Though, of course, the collector's editions of the game would factor into those sales. Not included in either of those figures are copies that were sold as part of the $400 US PlayStation 4 Pro bundle that comes with the copy of Spider-Man packed in. I underestimate the power of Marvel.
Yeah.
Because I haven't touched it this week. I'm like, meh. I'm really just meh on it. But apparently not everyone else.
What's that? I got my credits and I'm probably going to leave it until the DLC comes and then I might jump back in. Like, I was thinking about going for the plat, but I got...
A buddy of mine got the plat.
Who did?
A buddy of mine got the plat.
Oh, nice. Very cool. I just can't be dicking around with all the extra stuff. Mm. Just can't bother.
But I mean, congrats.
Fuck yeah. It's really like we thought God of War was going to be the big one, but like that power of Marvel and that power of that brand recognition of Spider-Man is huge.
It's more, I think, that it appeals to a much younger audience as well.
Yeah,
God of War. You know, you're not going to buy God of War for your 12-year-old kid or anything like that.
You wouldn't.
I mean, I would. Alex has played it at home. He loves it. But you know what I mean? In general, you know, parents picking game for their kids who might be under 10. Spider-Man, oh God. Spider-Man. Because it's Spider-Man.
Well, war's in the title. It's like, yeah. We'll give them some war.
Well, people are scared of spiders too.
That's also true.
Spider-Man, ah! No, but it's really good. And hopefully, like, it because we've had Guerrilla with Horizon go kapunk. We've had Insomniac with Spider-Man go whoop. Now, what'll be interesting after this is if Sony are finally going to pull the trigger and buy Insomniac.
Well, they did in the past, right?
And they had them in the past. They let them go, and then they've had many, many, you know, back and forth with them over the years.
I think there was a discussion with Insomniac. I can't remember who it was.
Paul James in the chat got the Spidey plat.
Oh, nice.
Congrats.
I think there was a discussion where I think one of the heads of Insomniac were like, nah, we dig being independent. Like, we'll work with the big guys and we'll do exclusives, but we dig being independent.
Well, they can firmly plant their feet now.
Yeah, no one's going
to
fuck with them
now.
They
got nothing to worry about now. They can do whatever the fuck they want.
Yeah.
Hopefully it's Sunset Overdrive on the PS4, because that game is great. Sunset Overdrive is great.
Having played Sunset, how did that go with... I remember we talked about this last week. Mm. How did it go with Command Spider-Man? Like, is it similar?
Not really.
No, yes, nah.
It's a lot of open world traversal. Not like flying, but you know, grinding along rooftops and then flipping onto like road barriers and shooting as you're grinding. So, yeah, the fluidity of movement is there, but they're not at all similar.
Oh, okay.
Like, at all.
Cool.
But it did show that they can do like this fast paced movement system with combat in it too, I suppose. Nuts.
Love it.
Number three, Rockstar Games has announced today that Red Dead Redemption 2 multiplayer will be called... Take a guess. Take a fucking wild guess. Horse Testicles Online.
I think it might be Red Bread Online.
Close. Red Dead Online.
Dreads.
Wow. And launched sometime in November of 2018. According to an exclusive Q&A with the development team behind Red Dead Online, it will take elements from the original Red Dead Redemption multiplayer, quote, much further and combine that with everything we've learned in the years since with our favorite elements of GTA Online. The initial launch period will be considered a public beta, according to the post from Rockstar's Newswire. Quote, we feel Grand Theft Auto Online really only found its feet creatively with heists, said Josh Needleman, senior producer at Rockstar San Diego office. Our aim this time is to get there a bit quicker, but still be responsive to what people enjoy, playing and evolve as we go. Anyone who purchases Red Dead 2 will get access to Red Dead Online. Well, thank you for that. I'm glad we get that for free.
So there's a couple of things here that are no surprise to me personally. Like, I knew it wouldn't be a day one online thing because they want people to enjoy the story. They spent fucking years working on this story. They want you to do it. And plus, they did the same thing with GTA 5. They gave you, like, I think it was only like 3 weeks, or 2 weeks maybe. So they're even giving them a month, so obviously the story might be a bit denser. And when GTA Online launched originally on the PS... Probably originally on the PS3, that shit was broken. You couldn't get in. I guess that's why they're going like, it's technically a public beta.
So you can't criticize this because it's a beta.
If it happens to crumble, they're like, we told you it was a beta. But I'm still fucking stoked. That game is literally less than a month away at this point. And I can't fucking wait. Which only downside means that means the PAX literally a month away, and that part's exhausting.
I don't know. I'll wait.
Yeah, I haven't checked. I haven't jumped on anything else. Like, I've not watched any trailers. I've not watched any... Like, I know the bunch of outlets have had hands-on at the moment.
Me either.
No. Yeah, but mine comes from, I'm just going to enjoy it. Like, I've in the same boat as you. Like, with Spider-Man, not knowing a whole bunch, going in there and being like, it was good. It was really good. Enjoyed that a lot.
Yeah. I'll probably end up picking it.
Yeah, maybe at PAX when we're surrounded by all these games and they're like, Red Dead, woo, woo, woo. Maybe there's a Red Dead booth and you're like, yeah,
that depends, because around that same time is the Gwent re-release. So that'll be my last game of the year that I need to play.
The last game ever.
Number four, Activision has teased what players can expect from COD Black Ops 4's post-launch content and announced it will come to PS4 first, because that's healthy for the industry. On the PlayStation blog, Activision confirmed all free post-release content updates will be available first for PlayStation players, but no details, of course, on the period of exclusivity were announced. Activision also gave some detail on Black Ops 4's free post... Did I copy and paste that twice? No, I didn't. Which will include an edition of a revamped version of the fan favorite map, Nuketown. No surprise there, because that's in every game since December. In November and December, we'll see the inclusion of several new specialists. Treyarch announced on Monday evening that changes they'll be making for the full launch of Blackout. The changes come from player feedback after the beta was extended earlier. Treyarch lifted the player cap to 100 players. Treyarch said they wanted to... All these paragraphs look the fucking same. Treyarch said they wanted to look at the biggest feedback they received from the Black Ops 4 community from the beta and, quote, provide some deeper insights into what we're doing to improve the game. Some areas they will be tracking and updating include armor, audio adjustments, inventory and item management, and Xbox One performance.
Yeah, so some of the things that they mentioned, they were reducing the volume...
7 days, Paul says, for the exclusivity of that DLC.
That's so much better than the 30 days it used to be. Remember back in PS3? Holy shit.
Then again, Xbox did pull a year's worth with Tomb Raider, so yeah, fuck them a little bit.
I'm starting to lose my voice, apparently. So some of the things they are adjusting is they're adjusting the footsteps of your squad, so that way you don't hear, I did with Buddy like 3 times.
Yeah, Fortnite had the same kind of thing initially at the start, where everyone's footsteps were just footsteps. They don't know what to do with armor, from what I was reading.
Yeah, because looks like they brought it down a bit.
Brought it down a bit because it was too powerful. But if you just get lucky and don't have armor, you're pretty fucked.
Yeah.
There's more kind of stuff.
Yeah, look, we as you said last week, we played it, we enjoyed it. I'm keen for it. I reached out to Activision and said, hey, we loved it. Any chance you hook us up in a couple of weeks? Wait and see on that one. Mm-hmm. But
quick bits. Fortnite had its biggest month ever in August with 78.3 million players.
PUBG did not.
PUBG had its worst month ever. Rocket League has surpassed 50 million players worldwide. PlayStation Vita will cease production in Japan come 2019. PUBG for PS4 has been spotted on the Korean ratings board. THQ Nordic acquired Alone in the Dark and Active War IPs. And one we'll get into a little bit is Telltale having major layoffs and essentially ceasing to be a business. So out of what's there, Vita? With the Final Fantasy games coming to the Switch, literally all I have my Vita for is if I ever want to play Persona 4 again.
Yeah,
that's it. And it sucks because I'm like, I want you gone now.
Yeah,
but I can't because of this game.
See, even now, for collection purposes, I want that Slim. I want the PS Vita Slim because I know once they cease production, that's just going to triple in price.
Well, just in time for Christmas.
Good point. But yeah, I'm trying to leverage the PlayStation Classic in time for Christmas.
PUBG listing on the Korean ratings board is probably a little bit too late now.
Yeah, it's done. Yeah, PUBG's done at this point. THQ Nordic just acquiring more people. Alone in the Dark, horrible franchise, but I love Alone in the Dark New Nightmare on PS2. That shit was on PS1 as well, I think. That shit was awesome.
Yeah.
Loved it. That was Alone in the Dark has always been a straight up Resident Evil clone. Which is fine because it was really good for me.
Well, last week we reported that THQ also bought Kingdoms of Amalur. But since then it's came out that EA still have the publishing rights for it. So EA have to be like, you know, yay or nay. But when THQ were asked about Kingdoms of Amalur, they were like, before we put out any statements about what we're doing with it, we'll put our heads together, we'll have a think tank and all that. It's like, shouldn't you have done all that before you bought the IP?
Yeah.
You know, so they're really just kind of fucking doing anything.
But I do think, in the same, as you sort of mentioned last week, I think they just have like a fishbowl of little bits of paper that has all the, like, we're going to work on Amalur. All right, sit down, ready? Let's go. Which is great, because in terms of creativity as a studio, having that shit extend open, I'm going to give that a refresh, actually. Maybe we've got some more updates since.
Nah, in like 20 minutes.
Yeah, who knows?
I've got all I need to say, I think.
Beautiful.
So the last bit of news that was breaking news. Speculation about layoffs and the possible closure of Telltale Studio began. Wait, I probably shouldn't start there. Telltale have fired everyone except for 20 people.
That studio is done.
Those 25 people that are left are reportedly, from anonymous sources, just working on Minecraft, the Netflix story mode adaption. No word on The Walking Dead from there.
Last update I saw was Walking Dead is done. So those that have bought season passes.
Paul said something about the season pass in the chat just before.
Let me jump back up there and see.
He bought the season pass for it.
Paul says, I've emailed for a refund from Telltale because I bought the season pass and it seems they won't be meeting their end of the bargain.
So they've laid off hundreds of people. None of them got severance packages. In a quote from someone who was laid off, where did I see that? According to The Verge and multiple reports on social media, laid off employees weren't given any severance. Quote, none of my sleepless nights or long hours on weekends trying to ship a game on time got me severance today, Brandon Sabenka said, who was a character artist for Telltale. Don't work overtime unless you're paid for it, y'all. Protect your health. Companies don't care about you.
Ouch. Brutal.
That's fucking brutal.
So this comes at a weird place for me. A, for people that are that are purchasers, Ball's not going to fill out that season pass. Mm. Because that also ends. I think Guardians of the Galaxy was getting a new season. There was, not that long ago, they announced there was going to be Wolf Among Us 2, mm-hmm. and there was a Stranger Things 1. Mm-hmm. There was a couple of things lined up, but then to have it suddenly drop like this is a bit fucked. From an employee perspective, that is balls. Mm-hmm. That's so balls.
A lot of them had to see, you can imagine the water cooler discussions of, we're doing too much. This is not okay. You know, here comes the boss. Shut up.
And that's from a business perspective. From the business perspective, there's writing on the walls for this, man. For years, Telltale have seemed to be just taking on more, not fixing what was there, not releasing games to their schedule, releasing broken games that would just either A, would drop, crash, and delete your saves. there was things here that should have been fixed. They should have stepped away.
They were trying. They did address it. But by the time they started working on that,
the damage
was
done.
Too little, too late. And as Paul says in the chat, Clementine's story probably won't come to an end, which is pretty sad.
Which is a bummer.
Because
it's a real bummer.
I played season 1 and 2, and then I was just waiting at that point for a whole pack to come in. You know, here's the Walking Dead Telltale game for $50, and here's everything, and then I'll get through it. But yeah, that is sad. Having said all that, we did get the classic Tales from the Borderlands from them, which is their best game, and I will not have it disputed. I'm very happy with that.
Yep.
But yeah, that's...
Netflix
can't be happy because they've just signed this deal to do... I think, was Stranger Things supposed to be on their streaming thing as well?
I think it was.
That and Minecraft. And that's obviously...
Well, Stranger Things being a Netflix property, yeah.
Yeah, I think it was originally. So yeah, Netflix must be pretty butthurt about that too.
Well, it's interesting that that even the funding that come from that Netflix deal didn't save them.
Mm. Yeah.
Which either means, A, they were in fucking deep.
They must have been in really deep and tried their hardest to get this deal with Netflix, hoping it would pull them out of that hole. And it didn't.
Yeah. It's a bummer, but once again...
Definitely a bummer for the literal hundreds of employees that just lost their jobs.
For the employees, I know it means absolutely nothing for someone who ran a fucks on the internet, but hope you guys can get some employment soon and get your life back into some normality.
The thing is, though, is that because Telltale's name has been pretty shit for the last couple of years, you know, you put that on your resume and
But now with this story, people are going to see that and be like, yeah, come here.
Yeah, hopefully.
I don't think it was a talent issue. No. I think it was a scheduling issue. It's a management issue.
Yeah. They just went too hard.
It does seem like obviously huge mismanagement here.
Mm. Yeah.
That's bum. That's super bum.
Righto, Ryan, that's it for the news as we have a chat to the players about our favourite games of the current generation.
This is your topics. I got nothing here. Tell them why we picked this one.
I couldn't think of any more topics and I thought we haven't done this particular one before. And I was just randomly sitting on the couch and I looked at something I made. I liked a particular video game enough to make something, crafting something. Mm. And I've never done that before. And I'm like, this is I really, really like this franchise. Let's talk about that. So how do you want to do this? Do you want to do one each? Do you want to do the communities first and then ours?
We'll bump. I think we'll get ours out of the way and then we'll jump into the community because we've got a lot of responses, thankfully. Mm-hmm. So we can dive through a little bit there and then we can add to what they've picked as well.
So I've got four.
I've got four.
And I didn't go straight for the givens, you know, God of War, Horizon. Yes, I fucking loved those games, okay? So did everyone else.
Yeah, well, in that case,
you know what I mean?
Let's cross my first one off, which is clearly God of War.
Yeah.
That's a fucking given. I have talked about that game consistently since I played it. As I've said before, and I'll say it again, no game has ripped my heart out emotionally I've never been so emotionally invested in a game like God of War, especially in a franchise that I've always enjoyed, but I never thought that I would get that connection. Like the other day, I was on fucking Twitter, and then I saw a photo of Kratos, like it was a photo from the like a drawing from the back, and it had Kratos walking away with Atreus and his daughter from like the other games, but she was more like a ghost. I'm like, I'm fucking crying at Twitter. I'm like, oh, that's where this game is for me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It was just a sweet little thing, and I was like, fuck yeah. And like, almost no other game has ever delivered that for me. So this is certainly one of my top games, if not the top game of this generation.
And Horizon is given, the story was good. But the world was fantastic, and it was really just the intricacies of the combat system.
Yeah, and the gameplay was dope.
The gameplay and the combat were phenomenal. Like unmatched for open world combat. Mm. You know what I mean? That's a given too. So I wanted to the omission of those kinds of games from the lists don't mean we don't like them. It's just
This is completely a subjective list.
Yeah, yeah. Go pick one.
Objective. Subjective. No, it's subjective. It's embarrassed. Well, I got my first one out of the way.
Definitive.
Yeah. Lock that shit in. Oh, I got mine out of the way. Mama's got a war, so you can jump in the next one.
No, I said we were avoiding those.
Oh, but that's on my list.
Really?
Yeah. I can't not put God of War on that list. I can't.
So we're very bad with our topics. We're normally the day before we decide, you know, what we want to do. Whereas this time we had a whole week and Ryan was not prepared.
No, I've had a very mentally draining week this week, so it completely escaped my brain. But yeah, I'll think of a fourth one for you.
Okay, Pyre, Supergiant.
Yeah, you loved that one earlier in the year.
Fucking loved that game. So Supergiant Games started off with, they started getting notoriety, I think, in 2012 for Bastion, and then I think 2015 for Transistor.
Mm-hmm.
Both very good games in their own right. But Pyre, for me, it was something else. It's essentially a visual novel involving sports. And that sounds dumb.
Yeah, isn't it like religious basketball?
Pretty much. So what it is essentially is criminals get sent to the underworld. They're not killed. It's just like the world under the world where just the scum live.
Mm.
And one person a year can get out by competing in this sports game. And then you go all the way to the finals. And then if you win the finals, you got to pick someone who was in the team to ascend and get out. And that's what it is. But it's the way they deliver this story, and it's so compelling. And you got about 8 characters that you can get on your team, and they all have their own backstories. You know how they got in there, why they want to get out, what's waiting for them on the other side. One of them doesn't want to go out, but. You know, do you want to send him out? Do you want to send this one out because he's the best one on your team? So you lose him from your team, but then he deserves to get out. So do you dick him around and be like,
I need you because you're
the MVP, man. But yeah, it's just a very interesting narrative and very compelling gameplay. I got the platinum. Very happy with that platinum. That was difficult platinum.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it is there, like, creme de la creme, is that how they say it? What's the phrase?
The best.
It's the best game they've put out. Because Bastion's very good. That's where I first kind of got my start with them. And that just came to Switch, I think, as well. Transistor, I couldn't get into. I was like, I've tried like 8 times to get through that game. I'm like, no, I'm just not feeling it. But Pyre is... if I played it the year it would have came out, which I think was last year, it'd be my game of the year.
Because
I played it this year, at the start of this year.
That's true, we did, yeah.
Yeah, that game is fucking awesome. And Supergiant are good guys. And the music's good. I even tweeted the music director. I'm like, dude, this soundtrack is fucking dope. He's like, thanks, man. I'm like, hi, you're fine. And that's the thing I love about the smaller studios like Supergiant is when you do reach out to them on social media or Twitter, they have a tendency to reply in a personal way.
Yeah, like, dude, as an example, so app is not on my list of games, but at work... we're using Death Squared because A, it's co-op. B, it's frustration tolerance. 3, it's, you know...
AB3.
Yeah. Oh, sorry, C. Yeah, that's why I'm working there. And C, it's, you know, it's like... The way the levels are structured...
Critical thinking.
Failure is always an option. and you can learn from that failure and adapt from that failure. And with the way each level is structured, depending, whatever color you are, you may take the lead in this one, you may take the lead, and you may not take lead for five more. So it's all about shifting, like,
responsibilities
and whoever can take the lead in the puzzle. I emailed SMG Studios because they're Australian and they're buddies with Ethan, so it worked out really well. And I was like, hey, man, this is what we're doing. We're saying what we're doing, why we love your game. This is amazing. And then within like a day, they're like, hey, man, holy shit. Yeah, thank you so much. Like, anything we can do to help you out? I'm like, I didn't want anything.
Yeah, just saying.
But thanks, man.
Some sick merch.
Well, I did say, if you guys want anything, code, swag, let me know. Yeah. So I may send them like, hey, we've got this new site. We need some posters and shit. Do you have any?
Yeah, that's what I love about these.
But yeah, the same thing is like,
They have a tendency to reply to you.
Like, I could gush all day to Corey Barlog about God of War. Never hear back.
Mm. Yeah. But you got to think, like, how many million people are doing the same thing, you
exactly.
know? So that, you know. I like, you feel kind of a personal connection, especially when they reply to you.
Yeah.
It's like, oh. And, you know, maybe you just made that guy's day, you know? Yeah. Your next one.
My next one, also a given for me, is Stardew Valley. Now, I understand this game may have been somewhat pushing this generation. I think maybe on the PC near, or maybe not before. I'm not sure, no. Very clearly in this generation.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah. All right, cool. I love Stardew Valley.
It he's been developing it for like 7 years.
Yeah.
So he started making it out of this gen, but it didn't release until this gen.
Yeah, I just couldn't remember where it fell on PC. Because I was on PC first, and then it took a little while to come through onto PlayStation.
I guarantee you it's not... 2016.
Oh, we're good. PC. We're good.
You're well in.
So Stardew Valley is absolutely perfect for me. It's a farming game. It also has the roots and the ground system, like, pun intended. It has the roots of Harvest Moon.
Mm.
And then when you go and read, Blood, Sweat, and Pixels, he talks about how he and his partner and the big influence for this game was Harvest Moon, Back to Nature, PlayStation 1, fucking game of all time for me. So like, knowing that it came from the same place, the place that I love, I knew I was gonna fall in love with it.
Yeah, the same thing, because it came out when we were at EB last year on Switch, and it came out at like midnight. I got you to wake me up so I could start the download using the data from my phone.
Yeah, we didn't have internet.
No, we did, but it was fucking shit or something.
Yeah.
I played it for about 60 hours. I didn't even make it to the end of year three. I don't feel like I need to.
Well, you destroyed your farm in the best way. Like, you were a machine. You had nothing left to do in terms of your farm.
Yeah, no, my farm is done.
The only thing you could do was schmooze the people in town, but...
Yeah. All I could do is, like, try to maximize profits at that point, but then it was like, well, I don't really need... Like, I don't... Why?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But I had, like, mega sprinklers and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, no, it's very, very...
Good. Yeah, no, I love that game... beyond everything. And
is
like,
the multiplayer out yet?
Not yet. On PC it is, but I don't believe it's on consoles yet.
Yeah.
But I can't.
Because you're hitched.
Yeah, because Buddy and I are already engaged, and we're going to get farm married.
Mm-hmm.
Can't wait.
And my next one is Alienation by Housemarque.
Holy shit, yeah, that's a throwback.
That's the first ever video review I did for us.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, I was living with mum and dad at the time, actually. So as we know, Housemarque are no longer doing their arcadey stuff, which is a damn shame. Because Alienation, I must have put in probably 300 plus hours over the years. I still go back to it to this day.
I won it through PlayStation.
Yeah, you got four codes for it.
Yeah, so I played
it. And then he's never played it with me. I'm like, yeah, let's go, and he's just never did it.
Well, because like at that point, we're like, yeah, we'll play it, and then you're like, yeah, I'm finished with it.
Yeah, because it was like 3 months later that you're like finally like, yeah, okay, let's give it a go. Anyway,
I'll jump in it right now if you want to.
It's like the epitome of
right now,
like what Housemarque are good at. You know, it's isometric, 2.5D twin stick shooter, but it's also like your loot grindy fest.
Excuse me. Yes.
You know, you can do all the levels, then you do them on the hard, and then you go to like world 3, which is even harder. It is essentially Diablo, but twin stick shooter with aliens, and the weapons.
Oh, that's why it tickles your fancy.
Yeah, and the weapons are like really creative. Like, you can get a boomerang that you throw and it comes back, but it's like, I don't know, on your screen it's like this, but it's like because there are hordes of fucking aliens there, and I don't know. It just, I love sci-fi. I love cyberpunk. I love loot 'em ups. I love repeatable content in that way. And I love Housemarque. And but you know, play like looking at that and looking at what they're doing now, even though obviously we don't know anything about it, it's really sad to see to see them. And
you kind of like, have to go with the money.
Their initial statement made me sad when they're like, "We can't do this anymore because while our games are critically acclaimed, they're just not selling enough." Which is fair. They are a pretty niche kind of game. Mm. Yeah, you got to go where the money goes, but I feel like by the time they get where the money will be somewhere else.
Yeah,
because they're obviously making a battle royale at this point, which is I don't know. But Alienation is arguably their best game, one of the best games on PS4.
Nice. My next one, because like, if you're seeing a trend here. My trend is the emotional connection that I'm having with said game. Mm. So my next one is South Park: The Fractured But Whole.
A different kind of emotional attachment.
Yeah. That is because I love South Park. Poop jokes. It's poop jokes. And I laugh. Like, very few, there are a bunch of games that try to be funny. Mm. And you go, huh. Mm. But South Park had me like, out loud laughing, because
it's like you're watching an episode.
It is.
For the most part.
Now, spoilers for Fractured But Whole. My do you care?
No.
One of my favorite fucking things about it is when they reveal who the villain is.
Who was it?
Mitch Connor. You know, fucking Cartman's hand.
Oh yeah, I think I already knew that.
So like, there's a point where you're like, because you know Cartman's investment, we need to find out who this person is. We need to find, like, yeah, and they find out it's Mitch Connor. It's like, we fucking know that's you, dude. Like, we know it's you. He's like, I don't know, it's Mitch Connor. I got nothing to do.
I think I was far enough in the game where Mitch Connor was a character. Yeah,
loved it. Absolutely loved it. And the idea that like someone gave, I think Mitch Connor gave Butters a ton of money to build an army with just Mexican dudes wrapped in tinfoil. Yeah. Like, even then, like, Stick of Truth is so fantastic, but Stick of Truth came,
which was also out this gen.
It was on PS3 originally.
Oh, was it?
Yeah,
PS3 March 2014.
Yes, it was on PS3, and then it did come across.
PS4 came out in 2013. Was it dual release?
No, it's just PS3.
But PS4 was out before then.
No, but only dropped on PS3, so it didn't, you know, it's on PS4 now. It came with Fractured But Whole, but it didn't at the time.
Okay. Anyway,
yeah. So like, Stick of Truth is great, but they really. It was a small time turn based RPG. There were there was no movement. It was just lanes, and like we could really tell that they were just putting as much in the story as they could. Not in terms of let's tell a compelling story, as in let's just put a bunch of funnies. Let's just put like we're only gonna make one of these. Let's jam it, right? We're Stick of Truth. Like we weren't going to make a second one. Sorry,
with Stick of Truth, it's like we can now literally do whatever the fuck.
Yeah, and like that's why you fight a giant fetus. Just because you can. Like, with this one, it's a bit more toned down in that sense, but I feel it punches harder because it's not just throwing it whatever. It's really...
It's focused.
It's focused. And it fits in with, you know, the Coon and Friends, which are, at that point have had, like, 6 episodes, so they're fleshed out, and, like, that world is just awesome. Mm-hmm. I love South Park, and this game just brings that in. And there's, like, nothing... makes me laugh. It made me laugh so hard when we went hands on with it at EB Expo, I think, or maybe no, it was EB Expo, not PAX.
When they put the Smell-O-Vision on it.
Yeah, well, Smell-O-Vision. Holy shit, that one's fucking funny too. Yeah. When you're in the strip club, and then you like the mission and the hands on mission was you had to make a drink to give to the DJ, but you need to so that he would bring a particular person out.
Yeah.
But you needed to get him away from the booth, and you could sneak back. So you make a drink, and you have to fart in the drink, and give it to the guy, and he's like, "Hey, thanks, little man. I think someone's farted in my drink," and then leaves. You know what I mean? It's like. Like, that's such a dumb joke, but at the time at EB Expo, tears in that booth by myself. Yeah. You know, and then I come home like a couple months later, play it, fucking tears again. Because it's just one, like, just how did this guy know that someone farted in his drink? Is someone farted in his drink before?
There's
like,
another story here.
There's an extra layer here. Nah, Fractured But Whole is fucking fantastic. It's literally one of my, like, the games I've never laughed that hard at a game before.
Yeah. Rocket League.
Easy.
It's weird because I fucking hate sports games. Mm. Cannot stand them. And there's 2 sports games in my top 4. In my top 4.
That's true.
Pyre is technically a sports game because you are playing a ball sport. Mm. I don't really know what to say about Rocket League. I mean, it's just fun. I've said it before, it's my junk food game. It's like, I don't know what to play. I'm in between games. I'm going to play Rocket League, and I always have a good time. And I like that you can always kind of feel your skill gap changing.
Mm.
Like, 3 months ago, I couldn't drive up a wall and hit the ball off it and aerial the ball. I can now. It's like, I couldn't do that 3 months ago. I'm getting better at the game. Like, there are very clear measures of skill.
Mm.
And it's like, you know, the being able to read the plays, like see what the other team's doing, like dribbling the ball, doing fake outs and all that kind of, like, there's so many different layers to it other than just it's car soccer, mm. which it is. That's like, it fundamentally is car soccer. But it's been fascinating seeing it just go from a big risky PS Plus game, because it came out on PS Plus, to this monolith of a game that's multi-million dollar esports competition, prizes and all that kind of stuff as well.
Mm.
Like I said in the news, they just hit over 50 million players worldwide. And it's cool because NoClip did one of their documentaries on it as well. And just seeing how Psyonix was like, they did, was it super rocket-powered battle cars or something? Like, that was Rocket League 15, 20 years ago.
Excuse me, yes.
Dumb. Mm. It was just dumb. There wasn't a market for it. And then they kind of had to just live off doing other people's IPs and helping with assets and helping with all this other stuff without being able to do their own thing. And in their spare time, they were like just chipping away at Rocket League, hoping it was their big break. And like, it's a very cool story and I feel like they deserve it. And like, it's fun explaining to someone what Rocket League is, seeing how dumb they think it is on their face. Oh, no, it's really dumb. Like, what? Car soccer? But then you show them the game, they're like, this is fucking awesome. This is so much fun.
Mm.
And that's what it is. I know it's not fun when you get into the competitive side because people get toxic and all that kind of stuff, but just to jump in a casual game and play, it's always fun.
Very
like,
cool.
To me, it's just always fun. And apparently 50 million other people agree.
Just small numbers.
Small numbers. I want to stay away from the big games. This one's got 50 million players on
it. We don't like big multiplayer games. We play this week.
Like for 17 hours. All right, what's your last one?
My last one is somewhat of a given as well. Mine is Uncharted 4, A Thief's End. For a couple of different reasons. One, emotional connection as well. Like, it's the thing that Tomb Raider lacks. It's like, it's the characters, man. Like, I am invested in Nate, Elena, Sully, even the fucking side characters like Chloe and, you know, like Nadine and fucking Sam.
Sam in one
in
game.
In one game. Like, I'm like invested in Sam. Like, there is such a fine crafted game here. Like, there's a fine crafted story here. Like, even if the gameplay was bollocks, like, I would still love these characters. And that's where it came from. So after, you know, I didn't play it for the 10 years that Uncharted's been around. I'll probably give it like 6 maybe. I think I came in about... 2 had been out for a while at that point.
I was the same. No, I didn't play it till the collection came out.
Mm. So like, I, you know, I didn't have that from day one love, but that gave, you know, haven't been able to sit through 1 and 2 at the time and be like, wow. And then so I fall into 3 and then fall into 4. Like, It's such a good ending to Nate's story, Nate's adventure, and you can't help but be invested in this story with him and Elena and watching them sort of get together and then
argue, Nate falls back into it. It's not for the reasons you think. It's to help my brother. No, it's not.
That's
your faux pass. Like, yeah. You say it's to help your brother, but this is what you want to do. And one of the coolest moments in gaming is when they sat down and played Crash Bandicoot.
Yeah. That because was just, it's real.
Yeah.
Like, not because
it's so real.
Not because they were playing Crash Bandicoot, which obviously is a big, big plus.
Sticking about on the couch, talking about what's for tea, playing a game.
It was real. Like, they behaved like a real couple would, and except they would then go shoot a bunch of people.
Well, Nate murdered
just a like
lot
a real couple.
I don't know what you do on your weekends, but we're here recording a podcast. Everyone else is getting shot the fuck up out there. Oh, wait, this is not America.
This is the Purge.
Ooh.
I
do like. I mean, do you feel like the ending was open ended?
I think it's. Hang on, let me just do this, man.
How long ago did that happen?
No idea. You were still coming through, but maybe not quite. Because the contacts were still there. Yeah. I think it's...
Do you think it'll be like...
very minimally open-ended. I think it's open-ended as in Uncharted will continue, as we've seen with The Lost Legacy. Mm. I don't see Nate's story continue.
No, that's what I mean. Because, you know, they did like...
Spoilers, we may mention the ending of Uncharted.
Oh, we're going to anyway. Yeah. So Naughty Dog did, you know, Crash. They did Jak and Daxter and Uncharted and The Last of Us. And it seems like they just left that one thread there with Nate's daughter, that if someone else wants to run with it at some point...
Well, I think that may have come from a place of... with PlayStation being like, Uncharted is massive. Can you please...
just leave something. Leave a... Can
you give us something? Like, you know... See, very rarely do you hear about a studio going back. Very rarely, because they've moved past that. They've evolved past that. Like, there is no way that you would get Naughty Dog A to make a Crash game or B a Jak game. Mm. Like, it just won't happen. Because they're like, well...
don't want them to.
We don't want... You know, like, we did that 20 years ago. We don't
Having said that, reading Blood, Sweat, and Pixels, hearing how much Neil and Bruce did not want to do Uncharted, period. Mm. Uncharted 4, I mean, because they just finished with The Last of Us. Amy Hennig has left, and the Naughty Dog execs were like, can you guys just, like, get the game back on track? And they ended up doing it all again, like, back-to-back games, The Last of Us to Uncharted, like, crunch into crunch. Like, they were fucked at the end of that game, and they didn't want to do it. And it's very cool how it still ended up. It shows their love, yeah? Because if they didn't want to do it, they could have been like, you know, fucking whatever. But it still came out as, quote-unquote, a masterpiece.
Mm.
So it just shows how dedicated that studio is to this game.
Mm. Yeah, no, because that was another little tearjerker moment for me as well with Uncharted, was at the end when they do the credits, and at the end you get that last little epilogue.
Mm.
I'm like, oh my god, they were cute. Fuck yeah.
Either that or the kids are catalyst for Nate going on another adventure. She gets, like, kidnapped.
We're taken.
Oh, yeah, taken. Yeah, he does the Liam Neeson thing.
But no, because it was good. Like, even after all that bull... Like, granted, life has never been hard for a Nathan Drake. Like, he's always had it pretty well... Like, it's that pulp action. There's like, well, he's never really in danger. Mm. But, like, knowing that him and Lane have this sweet, lovely ending, and, you know, like, Sully's around, and I'm like...
You just literally wipe snot on your cheek, I think, or is it a reflection from your glasses?
Probably both.
My last one, the undisputed best game of this generation is Shovel Knight.
Mm?
Mm-hmm. That game is so fucking good. And reading, a lot of our games go back to reading Blood, Sweat, and Pixels, but reading that their chapter in Blood, Sweat, and Pixels just makes me appreciate it that much more. Seeing that the team of five guys were just stuck at this other studio, I forget which one it was, it's a big one, and they're like, hey, we have an idea, can we do it? No, go sit back at your desk and do this thing. Oh, what about if we try this? No, get back to your desk and do this thing that we want you to do. We think this would be really big. Fuck off and go do what we tell you to do.
Mm.
So they'd leave and they'd take their computers with them on the weekend and overnight and, like, work on this game as much as they could. And then, like, leaving and, like, remortgaging their houses to be able to afford to develop the game. Like, they put everything on this game. And then you see where Shovel Knight is now, where, like, Shovel Knight is coming to Super Smash Brothers, not as a playable character, but, like, that is fucking amazing. Like, because Nintendo just don't let any old dick into appear in their, especially their major games. And there's, like, this little indie game from these five guys who, like, struggled to, like I said, you know, remortgage their houses and strain on the relationship and no savings. And now their character is appearing in, like, the biggest fighting game on the planet.
But for me, it always comes down to the integrity of Yacht Club Games. Like, when they did a Kickstarter, they're like, we'll offer the following.
Yeah.
And to this day, they still are supporting that. Like, most...
They're over it. They've said that publicly. They're overworking on Shovel Knight. But, and when asked, why are you still doing it then? It's like, it's our obligation to our Kickstarter.
Yeah, so they had that integrity to be that, like, no, we keep our word. And that is something, in an industry where people don't keep their word, look at fucking Telltale. In a world where, in an industry where these people don't keep their word, this is the fucking shining example of a studio.
And there's obviously influences in the game from the old Super Mario 3 with, like, that world map that you move around. From Mega Man with, like, the themed levels with the themed bosses that go with it. I love how on each different platform there's a different kind of boss you fight. Like, on PlayStation you get to fight Kratos.
Yeah.
You literally get to fight Kratos in Shovel Knight. Like, this game has kind of, in a way, like, transcended being an indie game, because it appears in so much. And Yeah, they've got their multiplayer mode coming out next year, and the final, like, DLC, the King of Cards DLC, which is free if you've already bought the Treasure Trove edition. It's just a really cool story from guys that obviously really care, and I liked the game enough to buy 600 1x1 centimeter blank cubes, hand painted all of them, and built Shovel Knight out of pixel art that I have at my house. Mm. It's like 60 centimeters tall. It's about this big. I'll put a picture up if I can be fucked when I'm editing it. I've never done that before. Like, yeah. I've never liked a franchise enough to go, I want merch. I can't get merch. I'll make my own thing. Like, I've never done that before. And that's, yeah, it's a testament to the game.
That is something.
It's the best game ever. Ever.
Jumping into the PopC community page and see what our lovely, lovely people jumped on in. Now, I did say it's games that released on the PS4. But some people did take with that and kind of run a little bit into multi-gen and stuff.
Oh, no, yeah, no.
Not multi-gen, as in, like... Multiplat.
And that's what I meant from the start. Just
People are throwing some Xbox in there and stuff as well, which is fine. So James Waters from Nerds and Places goes, so as of today, games released and playable right now or earlier and only on current-gen platforms. He put Forza Horizon 3 on Xbox One. I got a code for Forza Horizon 4. I haven't done anything with it yet. Debating whether I do, because if I do, I have to make a video about it.
Exactly why I declined that code you offered me yesterday
for Mega Man. Mm. Yeah, he says PlayStation 4 is Horizon Zero Dawn. For multi-plat, he put Assassin's Creed Origins, and for multi-gen crossovers, he put Legend of Zelda: Breath of the Wild and GTA 5.
Breath of the Wild fucking sucks though.
What does
Breath of the Wild?
Yeah, man. That's why we're friends.
No, I mean. Yeah, I could do an episode on why I don't like Breath of the Wild.
I did. You did.
I respect his decisions.
Yeah, like Assassin's Creed Origins, totally a good pick. I know my stepfather loved it. I know the Jess Rock Mummy loved it. You know, like, there's a bunch of love there for Assassin's Creed Origins. Assassin's Creed Origins is pretty good. That's why I reached out for Odyssey. I'm like, oh, okay, well, let's see what they can improve on Origins. Origins was pretty good. Mm. Moving on to good friend Buddy Watson. He says, my personal top 10 in order.
Ooh. Start from the bottom then.
Number 10, God of War. 9, Transistor. Mm. 8,
mm-hmm. Supergiant. Good man.
Overcooked 1 and 2. Fuck yes for Overcooked. Overcooked is great. Probably not in my top games, but I do love it a lot. I use it at work as well. Until Dawn.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Make that my fifth.
Rezogun, Rocket League,
Housemarque 2, Buddy.
Life is Strange, Zelda Breath of the Wild. Ooh, you lost us there, bud.
Yeah, no.
Celeste, and then number one was The Witness. I fucking love The Witness. Like, that game did outsmart me though. Like, I hit a barrier and I was too dumb for that game. I thought that was pretty good.
Celeste is very good. Too hard for me though.
Yeah,
I had a good time for the first probably 2 hours, and now it's just fucking intense, and I just can't do
it. Yeah, I'm watching.
I literally can't. I can't do it. Not as a matter of like I'm not strong enough or I'm not, you know, I need to power up a bit. I can't do the platforming.
Mm-hmm.
I can't.
And he goes, honorable mentions to Everybody's Golf. Yeah, Metal Gear Solid 5. Yeah, and Hellblade. Yeah. Obviously, Last of Us is up there if you include the remasters as they were close, but I don't. Lee, a new member of Popsy community, jumps in. He says, okay, talking about the PS4 personally, Spider-Man, God of War, Gravity Rush 2, and I also really enjoyed Killzone Shadowfall, and I absolutely love Kingdom Hearts 1.5 and 2.5. A bit shady on that one there, Lee, because that's technically fallen to the PS3, and of course Uncharted 4. He goes, now if we can put other consoles in the running too, not just exclusive to the PlayStation, Breath of the Wild, Life is Strange, Sunset Overdrive,
yeah,
Dead Cells,
yeah,
yeah. Why do you put Dead Cells on that list? You don't love it that much?
I really, really like it, but not as much as the other ones I brought.
Mario Kart 8 Deluxe, yeah, and Forza Horizon 4. He puts 4 on there.
A lot of love for Forza.
Mm. Forza is probably like the one of the better car racing. Like Forza Horizon 3, which was the one that was set all in Australia, was dope.
Didn't Gran Turismo just flop?
Yeah, Gran Turismo is super sim.
Yeah.
Where Forza Horizon has sim elements, but it's also not quite an arcade game. Mm. So it's this very nice middle ground. Paul James, the one Paul James in the chat over there, hey. He says, discarding remasters, so The Last of Us specifically, it's a two-horse race so far.
That's why I didn't put The Last of Us in there.
Yeah. As well. So you've got God of War and The Witcher 3.
Mm-hmm.
And if I had to choose, I'd be edging towards the latter of the two. So Witcher 3 is probably looking closer.
Mm-hmm.
There's plenty of others deserve to be in the conversation, which include Horizon, Breath of the Wild, Mario Odyssey, Doom, and potentially Red Dead 2.
Surprised Doom wasn't in yours, actually.
I think I love the soundtrack of Doom more than I love the game. The game is great,
yeah.
But that soundtrack is the winner. Is yeah. the winner. My top 10 for PlayStation 4 from Jono. I'm not sure of order of 1 to 10, so I'm just going to read them out. People, it's God of War, The Witcher 3, Uncharted 4, Horizon Zero Dawn, Persona 5.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you put Persona 5 on your list?
Because it's not as good as 4.
Sick burn.
It's not. No, it's fucking awesome. It's not as good as 4, though.
Dude, some of the girls at work, for some, I don't know what it is, they fucking love Persona. Period. No, like... You know, like these guys are great, and all, but there must be something with having autism and loving fucking like JRPGs
because yeah.
consistently across the board they Persona all just love five. It. I was having a chat with Courtney, who's one of the women. We're having a big chat about 5 and 4. She's like enamored before. Where Lindsay loves 5.
See, 5 I can get because it's very stylish.
Yeah,
it's very like flashy and you know.
But no, she wanted a big rant the other day. It was lovely about how good Teddy is.
Teddy's the best. I love Teddy.
You would fit right in with these guys, man. Like, because when they start turning, like, because they're like, for some reason, like, yeah, JRPGs just resonate with them something fierce. So they start going on these big things about JRPGs. I'm like, dude, you're the
It's a big adventure with friends.
Yeah.
That's what JRPGs are.
Yeah.
It's big grand adventure with some best buds.
And John A put Detroit Become Human, Spooner Man, Celeste, Metal Gear Solid 5, and Shovel.
Good man. Good man.
Damo says, unless Red Dead blows it out of the water, I'd have to say the best game on PS4 so far is God of War. Great story, great characters, rewarding gameplay, although runners-up for sure are Spooderman and Uncharted 4. A lot of overlaps there, which is good, which means, you know, there's consistently well-loved games.
I still don't get Breath of the Wild.
Yeah, me.
I still don't get it.
Should all take Breath of the Wild out of that list
and
fucking put Stardew Valley in there.
Just...
Oh, leave it. Hey, we got frozen camera again.
Just leave it blank. If Breath of the Wild is going to be on there, just leave it blank.
Yeah, just redact it.
It's not a Zelda game. It is not a Zelda game. Breath of the Wild is not a traditional Zelda game. And I know they like to evolve their formula and all that, but it is an average open world game with a Zelda skin on top of it. That's all that game is.
Yeah, so the actual open world is average. Like, some of the physics in there are really cool. Like, some of the bones are really nice, but there's, like, very minimal flesh on those bones.
There's very cool stuff in the game. Like, it is a good... It's a good game, but it is not, to me, a Legend of Zelda game.
Yeah, it depends on what you come at the Legend of Zelda for.
Well, every other game ever made. So I think I know my stuff a little bit.
It is in your wheelhouse.
This is the only Zelda game I haven't finished.
Ooh.
Well, give it, except for a lot of the very, very old ones.
Mm.
Yeah, because it's not a Zelda game. It's an open world game with a Zelda skin. I'm going to get that tattooed on my forehead.
What do you think? What is your favorite games of this generation? Chuck them in the comments below. Let us know. I'll be in there to chat and tell you why you shouldn't put Breath of the Wild in there and why you should replace it with Stardew Valley. But no, jump in below and let us know what your lists are for good fun. But those games have been, they've gone, they're done, they ain't coming back out again. So we're going to jump into the section we call Coming to the Players, which is a bunch of games that are coming to play your PlayStation this week. Now, once again, as we should always clarify with a like, small disclaimer, this is normally for the US PlayStation Store. Sometimes it comes across, sometimes they don't.
I'm waiting for the day where you slip up and say Coming on the Players. That's the episode I want to be in.
Oh yeah. Which is, so we just read the drop.
Yeah. Air Missions Hind PS4 digital. There's too many said, like, there's like 20 games.
Oh fuck, okay.
The Cat and the Coup PS4 digital. Catastronauts PS4 digital. Creed Rise to Glory PSVR digital and retail.
Oh, that's the VR Creed.
Yeah. That's why it's called Creed VR.
Thanks.
Cryptract PS4 digital. Dakar 18 PS4 retail, Dark Eclipse PSVR digital, Deployment PS4 digital, FIFA 19 PS4 digital and retail, Freaky Awesome PS4 digital. Fuck me, The Grand Museum VR, PSVR Digital. Hollow Knight, Void Heart Edition, PS4 Digital. That's a good game.
You'll buy it again?
No.
But maybe the difficulty comes from the Switch controller.
No. No. I finished Shovel Knight, which gets pretty fucking hard.
Yeah.
I want to get the plat in that, Shovel Knight, but there is one where it's like beat the game without dying once.
Mm.
And that's where I'm like, ooh.
Give it a go.
You probably like reload saves every time you do stuff, but yeah. Jack and Jill DX, PS4, PS Vita, Digital. It's like Degeneration X. Two words for you. Suck it. Life is Strange 2, Episode 1, PS4 Digital. I'll read it because I know a lot of people are excited. Long awaited sequel to award-winning Life is Strange returns. Two brothers, aged 16 and 9, are forced to run away from home after a tragic incident while attempting to conceal sudden and mysterious supernatural power. Now, I thought that this was a continuation of the girl's story. I didn't realise these were new characters.
Oh, me too.
I had no idea. Because I tried, I think Episode 1 was free.
Yeah.
And I didn't like it. I got stuck. I had to like... get some girls were sitting in front of like the dorm and I had to get them to move so I could get in and I couldn't figure out how to stop playing it at that point. I also have a juicy rumor for the end of this as well. Metal Max Xeno PS4 Digital and Retail. Perception Remastered PS4 Digital. Pilot Supports PS4
Wait, hang on. Go back. Perception, that game came out like a year ago. How is that remastered?
I don't know. Doesn't mention anything about it.
All right. Fair enough.
Pizza Pot, PS4 Digital. Punchline, PS4, PS Vita Digital. Revenant Dogma, PS4, PS Vita Digital. Think of the Children.
Woo!
Little Bobby's dead, the barbecue is on fire, Jen's eating poisonous berries, and the birthday cake still needs icing. Just another wonderful day out with the kids in Think of the Children, a frantic parenting simulator for up to 4
Now,
days.
I guarantee we've read this before on the drop.
I think
maybe
we have
delayed.
To. Must, yeah. Yeah, we did, actually.
But yeah, I want to do that. I want to stream that bad boy, so we'll make that happen.
This is a Police 2, PS4 Digital and Retail. Yes. Interpret the law as you see fit. Run the sheriff's department, manage your cops, make tough decisions, and try to keep out of prison yourself in this story-driven mixture of adventure strategy and turn-based tactical combat.
I did reach out for a code, but if one doesn't happen, I'm just going to buy it anyway because I want to stream that bad boy, too. It's so much fun the first time.
Time Spinner, PS4, PS Vita Digital. Toon War, PS4, Digital, Valkyria Chronicles 4, PS4, Digital, Retail. There's a few goodies in there.
Yeah, a couple
Think
of
Think of the Children,
there.
Like, good good party game. Not party game, like multiplayer game.
Yeah, it's pretty silly.
Think of the Children, This is a Police. What else was there?
Hollow Knight.
I'm sure people are excited for Life is Strange too. Yeah. So the rumour, according to my sources.
Mm-hmm. Who's your source?
They're anonymous. PS Plus games for next month are Neo and Diablo Reaper of Souls.
Yeah, that's pretty dope.
Mm. Did you buy all the Diablos yet?
No, I haven't bought them. We're going to buy Diablo. We're going to buy Diablo for work.
Hold out for like a week.
Yeah.
You'll see.
Neo, like you said, yeah, this is made
Diablo makes sense because BlizzCon is next month and they've been hiring people for the Diablo team and they have said there is a Diablo announcement this year, so I think having Diablo free for the month of BlizzCon.
Guess
people, it's
people
pretty smart move.
Yep.
And Neo.
Because Neo 2's in the works, comes out early next year. It's probably a good way to get people in.
Mm-hmm.
And
we're in a period now with like a lack of that Soulsborne genre.
The Soulsborne. Like the voice you gave it.
I hate the word.
Yeah.
But it's an apt way of describing
it. Yeah, you can't explain it in any way.
But yeah, rumors. They're rumors. But I'm pretty confident.
Are you also just the internet? Because I heard the same.
Yeah, Reddit. Someone found apparent leaked picture.
Yeah.
Yeah. But like, if it was every month there was leaks, then I'd be like, meh. But there never is.
Yeah.
So this time, I'm grain of salt, but it seems pretty reasonable.
I'm down with
it.
And
the picture seemed pretty legit too. So, yeah. That makes sense.
It does.
Is that mine or yours?
It's a private number.
No
caller
ID. This PlayStation conversation happened on a Monday morning at 9 a.m. Australian Eastern Time on YouTube and 8 a.m. on iTunes and other podcast services. If you'd like to be a part of future conversations, please join us on Facebook, join us on Discord, comment below. Or if you're feeling generous, join us on Patreon at patreon.com/popculturist. Head over there, check out the tiers. There might be something there that interests you.
And if you want to show the love of pop culture on your body, head to popculturist.com/shop where you can buy shirts like this and the one that's buried in there, I assume.
Mm-hmm.
And if you do want to be a Patreon supporter, you can watch us record this live on Saturday morning with your own exclusive Patreon link.
I feel like I just have to prove that I am wearing
it. Yeah, he's now. And we are on Twitch at twitch.tv/spopculturist, where you can subscribe and follow and join us as we play this Think of the Children. Join us as we play This is the Police. We did used to stream a lot more here on YouTube, but we found that YouTube's being a dick when it comes to game streams, hence the lack of videos outside of this. So, until next week, I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Josh Saunders.
And that was For the Players.